I told you you wouldn't have to wait so long for the next Celtic Underground podcast. This is a football fans podcast from the people behind CelticUnderground.net. Now, I should have had this podcast out a wee bit earlier in the week, but I had a burst pipe or some other such nonsense in my house, which meant I literally have been dealing with shite all week. Only just made the St Mirren game midweek. Anyway, it's a podcast from Celtic Underground. This is St Anthony with St Anthony Jr. So this is me, Harry Brady, saying enjoy the podcast from St Anthony and Son.
Welcome to another Celtic Underground podcast with me, St Anthony, and a very special guest. We've got St Anthony Jr., who goes by the name of Michael. Anybody who listens to this may know that me and Michael did a podcast just at the start of the season as a sort of preview for the season and what we could expect from it. And now we're at the stage, we're halfway through the season, and we're going to do a season's review of the season so far. So, as Harry Brady likes to remind everybody, this is the longest running Celtic podcast on the website. I would love to tell you that we are in a salubrious studio somewhere recording this, but we're actually sitting in our dining room just facing one another with notes in front of us and what to say. So, let's crack on. Let's just have a wee overview of the season. First of all, we'll kick off for Europe because that was the earliest games. Now, we had the Champions League qualifiers, we had the disappointment of AEK Athens. What's your thoughts on that one, Michael?
I think that AEK were a beatable team, and I also think that had we have beaten them in Greece, we would have gone on to have beaten either. It was Malmo that got through, wasn't it?
Was it Videoton?
Either way, I still think.
I think we would have qualified as well, I have to say.
And I don't want to say it was purely down to Boyata, but that was played a big part.
Well, do you think if Boyata had played over the two legs, we would have qualified?
Yes. I think we would have certainly had a better chance, because the three goals we conceded over the two legs were purely defensive mistakes.
Three goals were pitiful. Two of them in particular were dreadful goals to lose.
The first one in the second leg, fingers have got to be pointed at Lustig. He was as much use as a cone, really. And then it's just simple marking for the second one.
Well, let's not dwell on that then, because that's a long time ago. Is it fair enough to say that, am I right in saying EEK didn't get any points in the group?
No, not one.
Who did they play, can you remember?
They had Bayern Munich, Benfica and Ajax,
I think Benfica and Ajax are Celtic stature in terms of where we should be looking to be at.
If we're wanting to become a team that's still able to compete, then those are the type of teams we should be competing with. You know, it's the level, really, that I'd want to be at.
So moving on to the Europa League group stages, we had Rosenborg and the two Red Bull teams.
Yeah,
we've managed to come out of that. I don't think we've got the credit for it, to be honest, because the Red Bull teams are very well financed by obviously Red Bull. But what was your take on that over the piece?
Yeah, like you said, I don't think it has got the credit it deserves. That's probably due to the last game. It wasn't an orthodox way of getting through. Certainly, it would have been a lot nicer had we have just won it ourselves.
Yeah, but if we could have done it in a bit of style.
Yeah, and I think it would have been remembered more fondly. Mm-hmm, but nonetheless, we're through. Can't argue.
And it was quite a dramatic night. I mean, I recall being there, and you know, the guy to my left, and you were sitting to my right, and the two of you commented during the game, wouldn't it be brilliant if Rosenborg managed to sneak a draw, and there's no way in my wildest dreams that I saw Rosenborg getting a draw.
It was almost just jokingly, you know, the way we were talking about it, but it never really seemed like it was a reality. When it did go on, you know, everyone was just waiting for it to say, oh no, it's a mistake, it goes offside or blah blah blah, and then for Leipzig to have went all out of the attack in the last 5 minutes and get the winner.
It would have been typical Celtic luck, really. If Rosenberg had equalised at the end, we'd all cheered, and then in the last 30 seconds or something, Leipzig get the winner. But anyway, as I said, we've not quite got the credit for that, but I don't think we can turn our nose up at European football after Christmas at any level.
No, not at all.
So moving on to the League Cup, first trophy's in the bag. Yeah. We're still on course for a treble. What's the memories? The main games were really the semi and the final, to be fair. So what was your memories of that? Let's start with Murrayfield.
Yeah, I think Murrayfield was part of the discussion in the last podcast, but I was quite reluctant to go to Murrayfield. I didn't at the start feel as though it was a good place to have a football game. It's not really built for that.
It's a rugby stadium.
Yeah, it is. Just the same way you wouldn't really have rugby at Hampden. Mm-hmm. It's always been Glasgow's a football, Edinburgh has the rugby. There's, but I was pleasantly surprised. There was a lot of things that went right that day. I can't really think of much that went wrong. It was a cracking day. The whole thought, it was really smooth. I was expecting the traffic to be well, but to be bad, but it went well because I think some people went through by train and whatnot. So that was fairly simple. Getting into the stadium was hassle free. Again, I wasn't expecting that in the game, obviously. Really well, better than expected, actually.
But it'd be fair to say that was the day that this season that we clicked for the first time. In the second half, and
debatably, yeah, because that burst, that's Bull. They were on a row at the time. Mm-hmm. I think they might have been first, actually. And I think it was Ryan Sister that made the difference, albeit. He only scored one, but he got the penalty, and he just had one of the performances that
he lifted the whole team.
Caught the game alight, because we weren't up for much the first half. Really, I think St Clair had a half chance, but that was about all.
Mm-hmm. And what about the moving on to the final then? With Aberdeen in the final, turned into quite a close game, closer than maybe most people anticipated.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. It wasn't the prettiest of games, winning it the way we did was a lot closer because Aberdeen haven't had the most perfect of seasons, but a win's a win. I'm not going to.
I think you need to give Aberdeen credit on the day because they were well organised. They set out their stall, and if it hadn't been for one moment of opportunism for Ryan Christie, then it could have been an extra time in penalties.
Brilliant improvisation from Christie for the goal, because missing the first shot, obviously, and you know, being quick to react to getting in the rebound,
And then a happy outcome, obviously, when they went up to get the cup and the celebrations afterwards.
Yeah, it's a good job Brendan didn't drop it after the slip. But it was good.
There's a couple of stats worth looking at, because that's Celtic's 7th trophy in a row under Brendan Rodgers, but it's also, off the top of my head, using poor maths, that's the 10th game in a row we've won at Hampden. You know, there's been 5 semi-finals and 5 finals, and that's some going, because you know these games are always quite fraught with nerves, and they're never ever easy.
It says a lot, because Hampden, until Brendan came in, was a jinx. It was nothing less than that. I'm not going to list off all the games like I could, but because I could write a book practically.
There was a few miserable experiences.
Yeah, you know, Lennon's Cup results get overlooked quite a lot, and Dyla does actually get a lot of criticism for it. But it's brilliant. I've got some brilliant memories at Hampden.
The last couple of years have been fantastic.
Oh yes,
so moving on to the league then, a mediocre start to the season in the league. There's been a contrast between excellent home form, where we've not lost a point, hardly lost a goal, and then the away form is totally puzzling. It's mediocre doesn't begin to describe it. Some of the results we've had have been shocking. Some of the performances have been very concerning. So at this moment in time, we are top of the league on goal difference, and we've got a game in hand, and we'll hope we're going to win a game in hand and go 3 points in front. So at this moment in time, are you happy where we are, or do you think it could have been better?
I kind of think things are roundabouts, because there's some times where I think, oh, there's the late goal at Motherwell and dodgy team choices at Tynecastle and Easter Road and this, that and the next thing. But then again, there's also times where we've skipped through and pretty poor spells of form. But a lot of people are disappointed by the Old Firm game, which rightfully they should. I genuinely don't think we could play that bad. It was shambolic, really, from start to finish. We weren't up to anything. And that's obviously a big regret, because we could have went 6 points clear.
That's the point I was going to make. You know, not only would we went 6 points clear, but we would have put them back in their box for a long while.
Uh-huh.
And now we've given them hope. But I don't think they were. I think a draw that day, they'd have been happy. Never mind beating us. But we were especially poor. I think what it's going to come down to is if he can put a 10-12 game run, a winning run, mm-hmm. after the break, which is easier said than done, by the way, given our dodgy form. I think that will go a long way. Whichever team goes on a long unbeaten run is going to win this league.
It's close. It's going to. I can't see it not going right to the end, because it's actually, I don't feel, it's a two horse race. I think Aberdeen,
they've crept up.
They have crept up. As of Kilmarnock, I know they've lost a couple of players, but yeah,
Kilmarnock deserve a huge amount of credit, because to stay up there with the resources they've got speaks volumes for Steve Clark. I mean, if you're talking about manager of the year, then given the consistency of Kilmarnock, I think Steve Clark should be a stick on for winning that.
Yeah, the job he's done is incredible, but it is certainly the most competitive season I've ever seen, because really, mm-hmm. since the run started in 2012, mm-hmm. and we won.
Yeah, we were very comfortable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because they got liquidated, and since then there's never really been a tight one. We had a wee scare.
The thing that's annoying me though is we're making this difficult.
We are.
Does they need to be difficult?
It doesn't exactly. It's. I think there's been some poor tactical choices, but there's also been some. I don't know. It raises questions, because there's some players. Just the way we're playing sometimes, that it's unrecognisable, and I hate this whole referring back to the first season, but it's true. The contrast in some games is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think we were more than capable of winning the league, and it would be. It's not even worth thinking about, but I still have great hope and faith that we'll come through in the end.
What's been the best game of the season so far, in your opinion?
That's a tough one. Obviously, the night against Leipzig sticks out. Mm-hmm. That was a great night. But I don't know. The 6-0 St Johnson sticks out for me, because I really got the ball rolling. I know we'd beaten them there a few days prior, but we scraped through that, and that was the toughest run we had.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was incredible. It was the best run we've had under Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the day at Dens Park and beating Kilmarnock 5-1 and Hearts 5-0.
Twice.
You know, it was really something.
I thought we turned the corner at that point.
We did, and so did I. And since December started, it's been hit and miss, really.
The Pittodrie game was a good game as well. I mean, in terms of excitement, it was, you know, when you win a 4-3 thriller like that, then, you know, that's got to be up there as well.
Obviously, it was great, but it was still, we weren't really thinking about the Old Firm. It's a good, it's a really good job we did win that game at Pittodrie, because otherwise we'd be in a real state right now.
So what's been, who's been the best player of the season so far in your opinion?
I think Ryan Christie, because I don't think we would have gotten through a lot of games without him. I think he's completely turned the midfield around. He just picks the ball up, and it's similar to what Callum McGregor does actually. He does it as well, slightly more attacking looking, but it's the simple things that he gets the ball, he passes it out, but he's able to score goals and get back and defend.
His movement's terrific. It beggars the question where has Ryan Christie been over the period? Because at the beginning of the season, when Stuart Armstrong left, I thought Ryan Christie would have been the straightforward replacement for Armstrong, in as much as they're similar styles. Yeah. They're very mobile across the pitch. They can play in a number of areas. And they're very attack minded and they score goals from midfield, which is a precious thing in any team. So if one thing frustrates me a wee bit, that Brendan found him by chance. I think it was more down to good chance than planning.
Yeah.
Because if Brown hadn't got injured at that time, then Ryan Christie very well in the window here may have been off his mark.
When Christie was brought on at Murrayfield, it was a bit of an eye roller, really. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone was just like, oh, this is getting a bit desperate. Same way if Scott Allen was brought on in a big game right now. It's a fringe player. You don't really expect him. It's a weird choice to make, but it was a turning point for the team, Matthew, as well, because the impact they made, I don't think it could be overlooked. I don't think it can be put down to anyone else, really. But also, he looks so enthralled to be in the team. You know, every time he gets a goal or the team does,
he's a happy man.
He is, and it really upset me when that injury against Salzburg looked a lot serious than what it actually was. But he's became a fan's favourite, I feel.
I think there's loads more to come for Ryan Christie before the end of the season. Best goal of the season so far. I'm going to throw one by to start off, so just I've got one in my mind. The goal against Leipzig, right for kickoff, where it was something like 14 seconds, but it took centre, and it was a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, and a goal. That is phenomenal.
That's what came to my head. As soon as you said that, I'm trying to think. There's not really too many. Obviously, Cham against Rangers. Finally breaking down the 11-man wall.
I think one of the goals that probably underestimated was Griffiths' header in the last minute against Rosenberg.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was a terrific finish.
It was brilliant. Boyata staying up and
heading across.
Exactly, heading it down the way. Because if he hadn't have done that, it would have.
And the keeper would have saved.
Simple save. So it's really, really clever finish. I'd go for Edwards, because it's unbelievable when you get that, you know, that big, it was like a blow to the heart almost. You're like, oh no, we're blowing it now. That's it. There's not really much coming back.
And then the importance of that goal as well, because if you don't get that goal, you don't qualify.
No.
And I think we knew that in the night that we had to win that night. We were doomed.
It was almost like a fairy tale. It just builds up and builds up, and then you think, oh, there's Sinclair, lovely build-up move, and then the ball across. Oh, I can't miss it.
Christie's goal in the semi-final was a cracker as well.
Gave him the
confidence, you know. So there's been a few good ones certainly. Now, new players in the window at the moment. We've got Bayo, however you pronounce it. We've got Burke. We've got Weir. And my only concern is that I wonder if we're now relying too much on loan signings and there's no forward planning getting done.
Yeah. This transfer window, there's been a lot of talk, but we've not, in the summer as well, barring Edward, really, but we need to get long-term signings. We need to get someone who's proven themselves, they've established themselves, they've got experience, that is willing to stay with us, that they're their time at Celtic won't just last until a team in England see them and sweeps them away from under our feet.
I mean, in fairness, we've got the heart of the team signed up in a contract. It's good to see guys like Callum McGregor get a contract, Brian Christie get a contract, James Forrest get a contract, you know, Tierney's long term, hopefully. Although these days, signing a contract really means it. All it really means is it guarantees you a better transfer fee. You know, the idea of hanging on to these guys to the end of their duration is very unlikely. But I just feel like most of the signings that are coming in these days are loan signings, and you wonder how, in terms of long term planning, you know.
I'm happy with Bale. It's a sensible signing, and out of the other two. He's proven himself.
I'm going to make a prediction about Bale.
Mm-hmm.
He's either going to be Pierre Van Hooydonk, Henrik Larsson material, right? Or he's going to be Mo Bangura, Amido Baldi material. I don't think there's any middle ground with some of these guys that come into the continent. And I do think that it's either going to be really, really good or really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
So it'll be the first one rather than the second.
I can't, unless we do need to give Edward a break. I actually think he's, a lot of people are getting frustrated at him. They feel as though he's not as hard working as other players, but I think that's just his style.
So you've got a theory about Edward. You would like to see him playing the left, cutting in with a striker in the middle, wouldn't you?
Well, at times, yes, as long
which
as
means that Sinclair gets
somebody
gets
that can stroke. Play off him. But I think Edward's performance is have been overlooked slightly. He's in double figures, and he's a lot of people say, you know, if you're good enough, you're old enough. But he is still in his early 20s. There's a lot more for him to improve on.
The other thing you need to remember is
Bio. I feel, well, we've got Mike Johnson as well. That's another thing. I don't feel for the moment he's somebody who we can really rely on. So I think getting another striker is sensible, and I hope he does get some game time so we can see he's got to prove.
Well, the other thing to remember is that Dembele left us in the lurch in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, to leave with a matter of hours remaining in the transfer window put a lot of pressure on Edward at that point, because if Dembele had stayed, then Edward has another season, or at least another 6 months, of finding his feet and bringing himself into the team. And I think a lot of pressure was put on Edward because he did cost a big transfer fee, a big gamble, not a big gamble for Celtic, but a big fee for Celtic. Yeah. So a lot of pressure went on his young shoulders at that point, whereas if Dembele had stayed, then the pressure would have been shared between the two of them.
Griffiths, obviously taking his break, that's... He could either see it as a way to get more game time or, more pressure's been put on him. But, I think Edward really is one of our best players, and he'll prove himself even more now.
Okay, we're going to run through the squad very quickly just to see who's who, where they stand and what their future might be. There's 31, believe it or not, but we've got a bigger squad than to be honest, I appreciated. So let's start at the very beginning then. Craig Gordon. Mm-hmm. What kind of season is Craig Gordon having?
I feel as though he's been our number one for so long now, it's hard not really to see anyone else. But Bain's creeped in. I feel as though there's been more discussion, really. He has had these flaws this season, there's no doubt in that. But overall, he's shortstop in particular, and he is fairly consistent.
He saved his fair doing at Ibrox.
Yeah. If he can improve his distribution... then I can't see why.
I think that's the flaw, because Brendan's got his playing a certain style now, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if you could mix Craig Gordon's short stopping with Doris De Vries's distribution, you would have the perfect goalkeeper in many ways.
Or even Bain. I'm a really, really big fan of Bain.
But we're going to move on to Bain next, because he played a vital part in bringing the League Cup back.
Mm-hmm.
Played in top of my mind, I think he played all the League Cup games,
I think so, yeah,
including the final, which was a big shock actually, because Brendan hadn't really done that so far. He'd always played his strongest team in a final.
That's quite a continental thing to do, the Cup goalie routine. But Bain's never really disappointed me, to be honest. And I think
he's never let us down any time he's been there.
No, he's not, especially, you know, Ibrox in March.
Would you say it's the end of the line for De Vries?
you do need a reserve goalie, and Connor Hazard went out on loan to Partick Thistle, and I hear he's doing fairly well there. If he's willing, if Doris De Vries is willing to be third, then that's good for him. But he's not going to get much game time for.
Right, let's move on to the fullbacks. Right back, we have played this season Lustig, Gamboa and Ralston. We'll start with Lustig because he's the most regular of the three.
Yeah.
Is it the end of the line this season for Mikael? Sad to say, because he's been a great seller.
I might have been harsh on him earlier, comparing him to Cohen, but
There is a pattern there, isn't it? It happened in Athens and it happened at Ibrox. He just doesn't seem to be able to stop the ball coming across these days.
No. Look, I'll stick to bits. I really do. I think he loves the club as much, but he's looking a lot tired. He's looking. He's certainly looking older.
Any bit of pace he had, he seems to have.
Yeah, lost. I'm trying to think of something that really stands out for. I'm struggling, to be honest. He's not got any standout attribute left. Really, he's passing's good enough, but yeah, he's lost his pace and his defending.
I don't think it's any secret that Brendan's in the market for a right back. Now, that doesn't say a lot for Gamboa and Ralston. Gamboa, first of all,
now,
had the odd good game this season, but never really impressed otherwise.
Gamboa is one of the weirdest cases of signings ever. You know, he was signed in with a reputation. He's the type of signing that I'd be delighted with if we'd signed him. We signed him this transfer window type of thing. He's got a lot of caps for his country. He's played several seasons in the Premier League, and he's came up here, and I feel as though he's been, I want to say, he's been treated harshly, because last season he was barely given any game time, and the only one was up against Kingsley Coman and Neymar, really. But like you say, he played really well against Partick Thistle. He set up two of the goals, but what game was it?
Rosenborg away, the good game.
Rosenborg away, the first Rosenborg away, really. There was one he did let us down on.
A Motherwell one, he missed a high ball in the last minute.
That was just a
just a misjudgment and an error, but it cost us 2 points that night, which
to be honest, if he's willing to be in the bench, then that's great. We appreciate squad players, but I don't think
I think he'll be moving at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't think Brendan favours him, to be honest.
So what about Ralston then? Ralston's come back in the four last few weeks. He looks a big strong boy. He looks a lot more confident. Do you see a future for him?
I would class Ralston just from. I know we've not seen an awful lot of him, but I'd class him as a first choice. I don't know why it wasn't given a start at Ibrox. I thought the second half performance he put in was far superior to Lustig's. He debatably could have prevented the goal. And against Dundee, I thought he was excellent. He deserved a goal, actually. Had a couple of chances, and he obviously got his goal against Motherwell. But no, he really impressed me. He's somebody who I think he's an all rounder. He can see a attacking, like, and whip a good ball in as well. That's another key factor. Something that Lustig's not really prone to do, but I see him someday with a big future at Celtic.
So if we move to the left back position, you've got Tierney and you've got Azagiri. Now the concern with Tierney at the moment is there's rumours flying about that he needs a hip operation. Now it hasn't been announced yet, and I'm hoping that isn't going to be one of these ones. We've done this before. I think it was with Armstrong last season. We waited to the end of the window before we get the operation done, which I thought was the end of the break, the winter break, before we get it done. So if Tierney is having issues, then it's to be hoped that they'll get him in and out as soon as possible. But hopefully that they are just rumours. But you know, considering the impact he's made, what kind of season has he had?
We don't really need to explain how good Kieran Tierney is. Very, very rarely will he will have a mediocre game. He's always a standout.
The point that I would make about that is that how timid we were at Ibrox, there's no way that would happen with Tierney in the team. And I think that's something that was overlooked that day. He was a big loss.
Yeah.
And what about Aguirre then? Because he was brought as cover, he's played the odd game.
Yeah.
Is it fair enough to say that it was a decent signing given the fact that we needed cover for Tierney and we didn't have any?
I was really happy to see him back. I don't think anyone was expecting him to I think he'd be happy with the amount of game time he's had, actually. But I feel as though away from home he's been exposed. I thought that particularly took case at Pittodrie. He was taken off. And I thought Johnny Hayes actually did a good job at left back. I'd have started him at Ibrox as opposed to putting a centre half at left back.
Central midfielder.
Oh, centre midfielder, sorry, pick one. And yeah, as a Gary, the game against Kilmarnock, I thought he played well. There's been a couple, but yeah, again. Yeah, he's a great servant to the club, and I can't.
He's good enough for cover, I think.
Definitely.
You know, God forbid if anything does happen to Tierney, then to have Aguirre there as cover, I think, is fair enough. Moving on to centre halves, let's start with Benkovic. He came on loan, didn't know a great deal about him at the start of the season, but fair enough to say that he's arguably. I know Christie's your idea of the player of the season so far, but Benkovic can't be far behind.
No. I mean, the stability he's brought is incredible. It's just so calm and on the ball, and his positional sense is excellent as well. And it feels like he holds the defence together. He's also almost the spine of the defence. And him and Boyata, in the handful of games they played together, I thought were excellent together.
It's like the best partnership.
We've seen in I don't know how long. The only unfortunate thing is I can't see either of them being here next season at this time.
No, obviously Boyata has made it clear that he's going to go away. Benkovic, for me, looks like a potential Virgil van Dijk in the making. Because we had Van Dijk up here, we could clearly see he was a class act and he was going to go further. And I feel the same way about Benkovic. He's brilliant in the air. He tackles. He's got good distribution. He really doesn't seem to have a weakness.
The disappointing thing is because he is so good. Leicester, I think, despite letting him out on loan, do rate him highly. Should Maguire go or whatever the circumstances is, he will go back. And there's nothing we can really.
No, he's not our player at the end of the day. But which is the point we were.
Which is annoying because. I feel he does.
That was the point we were making earlier on there about loan signings. That we're becoming too reliant on loan signings because there isn't any forward planning for us. So that we've spoke about Boyata in terms of the fact that he had his wee blip at the beginning of the season, and he's the best partnership for Benkovic. So moving on to Simunovic.
Simunovic, we forget how long he's been here for. I still don't think he. He's very prone to injury. Sometimes he gives away the odd mistake. I change my mind on him quite a lot actually because he's that type of player. Sometimes he'll play a blinder and then the next he'll be the cause of a goal. But yeah, if he could stay. Which I think he will. There's not really anything going about that he's likely to leave, but yeah, he could be in a starting 11 if you know nobody else is able.
Christopher Ayer is sad to say he was coming on. I thought he was coming on to a game this season, and then he got that injury which set him back.
Yeah,
so he's making his way back into the team. Is he still a squad player for a minute?
If he can get a chance at a game, maybe we've got a run of home games coming up. If we could give him an opportunity then to get the ball rolling with him, that would be great to see because I think he's got a lot to offer. And like you say, he was coming onto a game at Spiller before he got his injury, so yeah.
Now that leaves us to two players here who have something in common, in as much as they both came in the last transfer window, which is Jack Henry and Marvin Compere. Now Henry's had his chance, certainly. He looks very, very raw. In fact, he doesn't look up to the standard required, does he? I mean, it's not been unkind to say that.
Compere's been here a year now.
Compere we can just write off, because whatever's happened there, and I don't think MD's certain.
There's been rumours floating around, and they're nothing less than rumours. Nothing more than rumours, sorry.
Mm-hmm. But he's done something.
He's played 83 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is it against Morton?
It was against Morton in the Cup, and even then he was shaky.
Mm-hmm.
But like maybe we got him too late, but again, he's a type of player I'd like to get, because he's got a lot of experience.
In theory, he's everything we were looking for.
Yeah,
he was experienced at a good level.
Mm-hmm.
He was of an age that he would raise the average age of the team, because we've got quite a young team, so we would be relying on that experience. But you know, you say there yourself, there is rumours, but whatever's happened, that he's blackballed. He's not coming back. Jack Henry, I just think, without being unkind, he's just not good enough.
I used to think Jack Henry was good enough for SPFL
mm-hmm.
games. I actually don't think that.
I don't think there's any doubt that Henry and Compere will be moving on, if not in the window, then at the end of the season.
Okay.
Into the midfield, Scott Brown, great Celtic servant, captain, exceptional under Brendan Rodgers. But I am of the opinion, when he came back for injury this season, we brought him back too quickly, because that midfield was playing well without him.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that at this minute in time, the midfield is playing well with him in it.
Scott Brown, and it really, really hurts to say it, but he slows everything down. And at Ibrox, you could see he was bursting a gut, but he's just that half second away from it now. I don't think it's a case of being lazy, you know.
It's definitely always, no laziness.
He'll always give everything he's got, but it seems really, really tiresome at times. It'll be coming out for the back, coming to him,
mm-hmm.
and not going much further or backwards at mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. And it's
interesting to see what develops, because
I hope he can come on to a game again, but
yeah.
I think age is kicking in now.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about Scott Brown, that brings us on to Callum McGregor, because when Brown was injured, they gave McGregor the holding role, which looked a bit curious at first, because McGregor isn't a tackler. He's not an aggressive player in the manner that Scott Brown is, but he was so impressive in that role, because he moved the ball quickly and his positional sense is amazing.
McGregor is unbelievable. Like, He could fit into any team in Britain, I believe. He does
Celtic
on the ball when he gets noticed as well, but he always seems to find space. He just, everything you want to be, even when you're not noticing the off the ball, it's just it really does get overlooked at times, and that's
mm-hmm.
harsh on him, but no, McGregor's
he's one of the
another really player you feel a lot of pride seeing him wearing
he's one of the hits of the season so far. Tom Rogic, I've got to say, in my eyes, he's been a disappointment this season. Mm-hmm. I know he's had injuries and stuff, but when Tom Rogic plays Celtic play, but I don't think we're getting enough of him.
No. Sometimes he doesn't look interested, and that's very disappointing, because we put a lot of trust in him at times. It's just not been happening.
Ryan Christie, we've already spoke about in glowing terms, and as much as he's got a huge future here. Malumbo, he came for Kilmarnock. He had a good season with Kilmarnock last season. It looks as if he was signed as a precaution if somebody got injured.
Well,
and he hasn't been able to make an impact.
Supposedly he's going back on loan. I'm not sure where, but that's what Brendan was pointing to. He's had a few substitute appearances. The first one or two I was very impressed, but he came on against Salzburg and had a bit of a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
For that role, I think we've got enough cover. So to send him out on loan and see how it goes with him would be a good enough option.
Here's an interesting one. Near Beaton, hasn't he played for over a year? The forgotten man of Celtic Park. They reckon that he's close to making close to fitness and making a comeback. Can you see Near Beaton getting back in the team?
I don't know where he'd play. He could play at centre half. He could play in the midfield. But
I think he's Brendan's type of player.
I can't really judge him because I've not seen him in that long. It's mental. But I don't know if he's fit. Why not start him on Saturday? That would be my argument. See how it goes with him.
Olivier Cham, he's blown hot and cold this season. Scored the winner against Rangers at Celtic Park. Ran the game that day, I thought, and then at the game at Ibrox, he was just so bad. It's indescribable. So Cham, I think nobody's doubting his talent, but we all know what he's capable of. But again, a wee bit like Rogic, but we're not seeing it.
No.
Often enough.
It looks as though he might be moving on.
Is that the Porto rumour?
Yes, and a swap deal with 14 million as well, which would be interesting. But no, like you say, inconsistent. It's been hot and cold.
And the last one to mention in the midfield, but which is a bit of a shame actually, Ebuie Kouassi came into the team, had a couple of games, looked as if he might just have been ready to make the breakthrough and then get that horrible injury.
At Tynecastle, I thought he was very, very, very poor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, oh, we're not really expecting much. Oh, he's a developing player. We paid £3 million for him.
Well, he's been here for 2 years, I think. It may even be three. Is it two?
It was a Roger signing, I think.
He's been here 2 years, so he should be bedded in by now. But the problem is, we're getting that injury. I think that might be it might be the end of him.
I can't really see him. I don't think anyone else would be interested. Maybe he could in the future maybe make a comeback, but not for now.
Wingers, let's start off with James Forrest. He's been a pick of the bunch this season.
Mm-hmm.
When he plays well, he plays exceptionally well. But there is if you do have to criticise him for something, he's another one that the consistency hasn't quite been there so far.
Perhaps. I feel as though his performances have been a lot better, even if he's not directly involved in goals. But no, Forrest is once again somebody who's been at Celtic for a very long time. He's a one club man. But no, this season internationally as well, he's really, really came on a good game. So I hope there's more to come from this season, because we rely on him a lot.
Moving to the left wing then, traditionally it's been Scott Sinclair who's been there. Now Scott, up until a year ago, Mize would have been irreplaceable in the Celtic team. He has had this 2018 was a poor year for Scott Sinclair.
Very poor. And we were even watching the season review. The first half of the season he had last year was
excellent
as well. Obviously, he got the hat trick against Aberdeen, which is a really good accomplishment. And a lot of people after his performance at Ibrox have ignored it, but Scott Sinclair hasn't been up to pace, but there's nobody really there to fill his position. So unless we're to get a signing, I'd keep my faith with Scott Sinclair, because I still think he could come on a game, or even if he's not, he could just get a go, because up until the hat trick in December, he wasn't looking the best. So, I'd keep him in the team.
Johnny Hayes, again, I don't think it's too unkind to say that Johnny Hayes is maybe no good at the standard that's required. Good player for Aberdeen, good SPL player, but to make the step up to Celtic and play with the pressure playing it at Parkhead, for day one I've never been convinced with Johnny Hayes.
He's not coped well. Obviously having the terrible injury he got was unfortunate. But I thought he played well in the second half against Pataudry. I know that's not his natural position, but still not really good enough in my eyes.
Mikey Johnson's next. Made a bit of an impact before Christmas and around about the Christmas period. Interesting to see that Mikey Johnson, when he was played through the middle, I saw more in him than I did ever saw in the wing.
No, I'd agree with that. I feel as though when he gets the ball, he's a lot more direct. On the wing, he kind of
He runs out of grass a wee bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he fiddles about with it too much. He kind of wants to beat a man multiple times instead of, you know, getting an end product out of it. But I was, again, impressed with him. He obviously got his 3 goals in the 2 games. So I think if he could, you know, stay in and out of the 11, that would be a good achievement for him. But no, I'd expect him to stay. Yeah.
Lewis Morgan signed in the summer, and I think people had high hopes for him. He came with a reputation for being a certainly at a lower level, being an outstanding player. Now, from what I've seen of Morgan, there's been wee flashes there. I think Morgan's got something, but it could be that it might be best for him to go out on loan.
Going out on loan would be, I think, a good decision for him. He's not, realistically, he's not going to get game time for the rest of the season. I think that if it'd be good if we could keep him, because I think he has got something in him.
That leaves us two players we'll just briefly mention, Daniel Arzani and Kundai Benyu. Arzani, really unlucky, looked promising at Dense Park. He looked as if he'd good feet, he looked as if he'd a bit of pace, and he could have been a real asset for us. And more importantly, as far as James Forrest is concerned, and I think this is important, it would have kept him in his toes. I think part of the thing about Forrest is that with Paddy Roberts being there, that increased Forrest's performance. And the second one's Kundai Benyu, who you have to say just he's at the door. He's not even quoted, is he?
I don't think he's going to be out the door, actually. I think he's going to stay. I think he's came on in one competitive game. Anyway, I can't really see him leaving.
But mind you, when you think of Ryan Christie making the breakthrough, you wonder if these guys get an opportunity. How many of them could they, Ryan Christie? Because, like, you know, we've already mentioned there that if Christie hadn't got into the team in October, then there's every chance he might have been punted in the January window, and we'd be sitting here going, you know what, that boy Christie, didn't he work for him?
Kundai Benyu, the level he was, we signed him for, he caught our attention playing for Aldershot.
I'm not even sure what he is. Is he a wide man? Is he a midfielder?
From what I hear, he is a winger. I'm not particularly sure what side it is, but I do actually remember he played against Lyon in a pre-season friendly for last season, and I thought he was a standout, to be honest. It was him and Cham, and positionally we weren't really sure where either of them were, but no, those two in that game,
yeah, they stood out, didn't
they? Yeah, they did. So a bit disappointing, but yeah.
That leaves us two players, the two strikers. Let's go with Lee Griffiths first. Now, suffice to say, Lee Griffiths, he's having issues at the moment, and all we're going to say in that is that to wish him the very, very best, and every Celtic fan hopes that he'll be back as soon as possible, because a fit Lee Griffiths with his head in the right place will go a long, long way to deciding this league title.
Yeah, I'd echo that. He's somebody that will score goals, pure and simple. And that's something that's really important, especially when you're going through, you know, a spell like we did. He got the winner against Rosenborg, he got the winner against St Johnstone as well, and you know, he shoots something now and then, he holds it together sometimes when we're going through dry patches. But no, yeah, wish him all the best, because it's saddening to see, but I still think he could come back by the end of the season.
Right, that brings us on to the last guy in the squad, French Eddie, who cost us a record fee at the beginning of the season, and he's also blown hot and cold. I think some of the goals he scored have been exceptional. I think some of his all round games exceptional, but I do think we have to appreciate that he's still very much at the learning stage, which is all the more frustrating that Dembele left, because if Dembele had stayed, then Eddie could have came on his own terms. Yeah. But now that the pressure has been placed on him, so how's he done in your eyes?
Yeah, like I touched on earlier, I think well, better than what some people see him as, and I think he will rack up a lot more goals by the end of the season. That would be my expectation anyway. Mm.
I actually think if Bio plays through the centre as an orthodox striker, mm-hmm. then I do think Edouard will get more of a game on the left hand side cutting in, because that seems to be his forte, you know, like the goal he scored at Ibrox, cutting for the left on his right foot and you know, curling balls into the net. He's very, very good at that. So we're nearly at the end now. All I'm going to ask you for your opinion is your hopes for the rest of the season. How do you see it going? I mean, the first game now is going to be we're doing this on Thursday night. I'll probably not be on the site till probably Saturday. So Saturday at 5:15 at Celtic Park, a low key game, Celtic and Airdrie. Crowd will probably be of the high teens, 20. It's live on TV and Premier Sports. It's the middle of January. There'll be a certain curiosity after the winter break, especially with the new players if they're going to play. So that might have put a few thousand in the gate. But we're back in the swing of things. But what's your hopes for the rest of the season?
I'm not trying to say I don't value European football, because I do. But going on beating Valencia would be great for us. But solely getting the two domestic trophies that remain is
the priority.
Yeah. Mm. And if I had to cut down from there, it would obviously be the league, just to keep the 10 going. It's mm-hmm. just so important. We get caught up in the swing of things. It's so important. We might not get the chance in this, you know, like mm-hmm. late generation again. It's something we really need to.
We need to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, we do. And we've got the resources and the money to do that. We're so far in front on paper, but sometimes we just can't do it in the pitch. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. to get the league title would be my hope, and to get the double treble would also be something that I would.
Any more signings in the pipeline, or do you think we've done the business?
No, Brendan seems as though he's wanting at least a couple more signings. Again, hopefully a permanent mm-hmm. signing or two, particularly in the fullback area, or maybe there's actually a lot of places I can think of that we're quite exposed to.
Players can go. I was only saying there might be an issue with Boyata. His agent is making. Yeah. Noises to say that he'll definitely not be here at the end of the season, which is fair enough, that's his prerogative. And the Celtic board are very guilty of getting an offer for a player and taking it, particularly if they think Boyata is going to go for nothing in the summer. My take on this is that Boyata and Benkovic are still our best centre back pair, and you're taking a very big risk if you let Boyata go, even if you sign a new player in, because there isn't any guarantee the new guy's going to come in and hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. So I would want to keep Boyata there at the end of the season, even if it meant taking a hit in a couple of million, because getting eight in a row, and more, and just as important, getting the Champions League into the Champions League qualifiers with a potential £30 million that you get for getting to the group stages mm-hmm. is a lot more far-sighted than the short-sightedness of taking £2 million for Boyata.
With all due respect, for players, first team players, the money's not going anywhere. We've had so many, you know, through clauses in players' contracts for Van Dijk, for example. The money, debatable, the money we got. Let's say the money we got for Armstrong was spent in Edouard, right? That would still not include income coming left, right, and centre. It's not really been spent on first team players, which is a disappointment. So I don't really feel if we were to gamble for a couple of million would make much of a difference, really.
So the message is to Brendan is tell the troops to get their finger out, let them off the leash, and let's start setting about teams here, and to use a Glasgow parlance, giving teams a message, because the players we have and the squad we have, we should be doing it a lot better than what we are.
Yeah. Well, you say that. There's always going to likely be a bad run. I hope we're going to come through it. We're still in Europe. We won the League Cup. You know, that's some of the domestic trophies in a row. And maybe we're being a little bit negative.
Well, in terms of the objectives at the beginning of the season,
that all swings and what happens in the second half of the season, obviously. So this is a massive turning point. We'll see what league goes.
So it just remains for me to thank you for coming on with your old dad and talking about all things Celtic, and it's a pleasure to speak to you because you talk a lot more sense than Harry Brady does, or the likes of Mark Cooper and all these other guys we get on. So it's, everybody out there will appreciate you, your sensible opinions.
Thanks. Flattered, but I'd like to hear what Harry Brady's got to say in that in particular.
Well, no doubt you'll get to hear in a couple of days' time.
Yeah.
So just to say good luck to Celtic for the rest of the season, and thanks very much everybody for listening.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Oh, you enjoyed that podcast, and now that I'm dealing with less shite in my life, literally, there'll be hopefully more podcasts along soon. Anyway, that was St. Anthony with St. Anthony Jr. We, as I'm recording this, we have the Hamilton Accies game, I think it is. I don't know, I just turned up to see Celtic play. We have the Hamilton Accies game, I think it is, tomorrow, and then we have managerless teams coming up. With the breaking news tonight as I record this, that Neil Lennon has left Hibs. So as I say, hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
There should be more happiness, so much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me